Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is Cyber Monday. Have you shopped today? We are in the middle of it, but early projections for today were somewhere around $11 billion in sales, relatively flat from last year, according to Adobe Digital Insights. That after a lackluster Black Friday compared to last year, too. How important are today's digital sales for our economy here in the Commonwealth, and how are new technologies changing how we shop, how you shop, and how safely we shop? Let's start with Sucharita Kodali, Vice President and Principal Analyst at Forrester Research. Sucharita, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So I'm curious, is this one where, like, we get early returns during the day and we know at 3 o'clock how Cyber Monday is going, or will we not know till reports later?
It pretty much is very telling, in large part because the best things are available early in the day and they sell out. And if they're not selling out now, they're probably not going to do that much better later in the day.
So how's it looking?
It's looking lackluster, as you had mentioned, and we felt that coming into the holiday. There were a few things that were happening. We have supply chain issues that were constraining even the amount of inventory that a lot of retailers had available. Some surveys that we did with retailers suggested that about a third of them were completely reducing the amount of promotions and offers they even had for Cyber Monday compared to last year. So if you don't even have the offers, you're definitely not going to see the sales either.
How important is it regionally? I mean, this is a global economy, especially when we're doing digital commerce. And yet you have to wonder if it affects the regional economy as well. Does the Commonwealth need it to be a good digital sales day today?
Well, the good thing is that the e-commerce and even retail is not made or broken on any single day. It can be nice if there is a huge boost in sales on a particular day. But the great thing is that the season is dependent on 60 days. It's not just 1 or 2 days that everything has to happen. We're not nearly as dependent on a single day the way that the Chinese retail economy is dependent on their version of Black Friday, which is called Singles Day, 11/11. In that case, it's almost 10 to 15% of all sales happen on that single day. So it's a problem if they don't make that day. In the case of the United States, there are so many other opportunities to make up that sales volume. And because we think that a large part of this flatness is due to inventory issues, we think that the inventory is actually going to come in later in the year. So we may actually have an opportunity to have some great sales in late December or even January.
So what kinds of products do you think will be strong this year? I guess we're wondering about gift cards since there are so many supply chain issues, but where else too?
Yeah, gift cards are definitely popular. That's always a safe bet. But it's often the same products that do best this time of year. It's a lot of technology goods, electronics. People buy TVs, mobile phones, tablets. Anything that is in the electronics or tech space does particularly well. Apparel also tends to do particularly well this time of year. You'll often have home goods like appliances, small appliances, like, you know, tabletop appliances. It could be like an air fryer or an Instant Pot. Those kinds of things do very well this time of year, too.
And in general, do you expect just sales in general flat compared to last year? That seems to be the story so far. Or are you expecting a healthy overall, let's say it's spread over 8 weeks this time, a healthy overall holiday shopping economy?
More flat than doing particularly better than last year. E-commerce will do disproportionately better. That's where there has been a lot of energy through the pandemic. There are a couple of other things that are unique to this year. One is that inflation is also higher in part because of the supply chain issues, but also due to money supply issues. And when you have high inflation, you're not going to have as much of an appetite for consumers to spend. And now, you know, we just learned there's the Omicron variant too. And there are the Omicron. I'm always mispronouncing that. But that's also creating anxiety for shoppers as well. In a best case scenario, about a fifth of consumers are nervous about going into stores. This was before this variant. Now with this variant, you can only bet that that number is going to go higher.
All right. Well, we will continue to watch for that. That is Sucharita Kodaly, Vice President and Principal Analyst at Forrester Research. Sucharita, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's turn for more now to Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter for the Boston Globe, a regular here on Radio Boston. Hiawatha, welcome back.
Oh, glad to be here.
So let me just start by asking for your reactions to what we just heard from Sucharita.
Well, yeah, sounds pretty plausible to me. I've been hearing about shortages of electronics and stuff. Not, it's not necessarily that things aren't out there, but in some cases you're going to have to pay substantially more than you might have in previous years for things like laptop computers and the like. And of course, you know, this is really interesting. Remember last year when everybody was dying to get the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, the new Xbox? They're still dying to get them. They can't get them. They're gone. Nobody can find them. And by this time, 1 year into the cycle for a new console, shortages should be much less of a problem, and they're not. The chip issue has really continued to dog anything electronic. And by the way, of course, that has spilled over into countless other things. You know about cars, also home appliances, all kinds of stuff that you might ordinarily want to buy is going to be in short supply because of chips. On the other hand, as you point out, sales are, well, we don't depend as much on one big day in the United States. And Americans just buy all the time. So I'm not really sure. I personally think that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are as big a deal as some people make them out to be, because it's always Cyber Monday in America.
So, you know, I do wonder about that, Hiawatha, especially as people can begin to shop in new ways. I noticed, for example, that Walmart teamed up with Twitter to do a live shopping event on Twitter yesterday, which I got to say, as a sort of a layperson, just looks like taking the home shopping network to
Twitter.
Yeah,
I saw that too, and I'm with you on that. I'm not really sure I see why anyone would want to do that, but then I didn't understand the home shopping network. And here we are, what, like 30 years later, and it's huge. People love it. So I don't see any reason why it won't work on Twitter too.
And so we'll probably continue, I'm assuming then, to see new ways on new social media platforms that people can purchase to do the security.
You know what I'm waiting for? The Clubhouse shopping network. Remember when the year began, there was this big buzz about the social network Clubhouse with people just talking in this constant party line? I haven't heard anybody finding a way to shop on that, and it sort of petered out. People got bored with it. It hasn't really caught on.
It would be interesting, though, for party line shopping. That could be pretty interesting. So listen, Hiawatha, in the time that we have remaining, let's talk a little bit about risks when you shop online. I mean, there are risks even when you hand your credit card to someone that you might experience fraud. But what do you watch for with digital shopping, and what should people pay attention to?
Well, you know, the obvious thing is that you shop at reputable retailers. I mean, that's one of the advantages Amazon has. You go to Amazon, you know that you may not like the product you got, but you can trust that you are almost certainly not going to get hacked while you're on the Amazon website or the Walmart website or the Wayfair website. There are a lot of smaller, lesser-known online retailers out there, and well, you have to be a little bit more careful shopping at places like that. I don't want to discourage people from shopping at the little guy, but you do have to take extra care, like maybe do Google searches and find out whether these guys have a good reputation before you want to do business with a retailer you haven't heard of before. So that's always going to be a problem.
And are there better or worse ways to pay, Hiawatha?
Oh, personally, I don't know. When I'm out on the out in the real world, and believe it or not, I do go out in the real world, I usually end up using Google Pay or Apple Pay because I actually feel more secure using the phone-based payment systems than I do with plastic. Although, you know, plastic isn't that dangerous either, but I like waving my phone over the terminal. The big worry I have is when I pull into the drive-in line at the Dunkies, I have to hand them my phone so they can do it themselves. That makes me nervous. But yes, these phone-based systems like Apple Pay and Google Pay are actually quite secure, and I'm very, very, I feel much safer using them.
Are there other ways to think about paying that you should or shouldn't do, like over the telephone or, you know, passwords, using passwords and keeping track of the 8 million you're supposed to have versus that temptation to use one.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's a different issue. That's keeping your password safe. I'm a big fan of password managers, too. I do, like, banking and shopping and all kinds of stuff on my phone. And one of the reasons I do it is because I use a password manager that is locked with my fingerprint. And so in order to put the password into any of the apps I'm using, it's stored in this device. And so I can use the most insanely complex passwords you ever heard of. Password managers are a great idea. I think everybody should use them, but with one crucial warning. Each of them has a central master password. And if that master password falls into the wrong hands, so do all of your other passwords. So you have to be very careful about that. But the best thing about password managers is that you can then give each account an insanely complicated password, and more importantly, you give each account a different password. You know how everybody uses the same password on everything?
Yes.
No, don't do that. Never do that.
But then protect the password to your passwords.
You have to. You write it down someplace, you put it where nobody else can find it, and you never let yourself forget it and change it on a regular basis. Absolutely.
Any other advice or things you are watching, Hiawatha?
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah, most of this is stuff everybody should know how to do anyway. Like if you get messages via email from any of these companies that, you know, the Amazons, the Facebooks, et cetera, be very careful about clicking any link that you receive inside a mail that came from somebody you're not sure who they are. The best thing to do if you get a message saying, "We're Facebook and we're warning you that something's going on with your account," don't click anything in that email. Go directly to Facebook and go to your account and see if there's any information there waiting for you. Do not click on the link in one of those emails because it could be a phishing email. Just don't trust any email from somebody you don't know who it came from.
All right. That is Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter at the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, good to talk to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Always a lot of fun.